The 387th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54 to 53! North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan. Jumper from out on the left. Good! You're on the way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout.
Court. Williams on the drive, gets it back out to him. Long outside shot, short rebounded. May, it's over. Carolina has won the national championship. 89-72, and how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champions.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three, too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national dadgum champions.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome into another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast, coming at you live on a Tuesday night. Lots of news to talk about, a lot of big news to talk about around Carolina basketball. If you didn't already know or did not see the report earlier today from Matt Norlander of CBS Sports indicating that RJ Davis is on board to return for his super senior season. We're here to talk about that. About an hour or so, kind of in that same report about RJ, we saw that Seth Trimble withdrew from the transfer portal. He's back for Carolina going into next season as well. We'll talk about that as well. It's going to be a celebratory podcast, to say the least. RJ has not yet confirmed the news, but it's hard to believe this news doesn't get out. Matt Norlander, a verified reporter, I don't see him reporting that in case it wasn't true. So we're going to have some fun because you guys that have been with us know how I feel about RJ and how much I wanted him to come back. It looks like he's coming back, and we're going to have some fun celebrating a guy that deserves to be celebrated. But before we do any of that, we'll start every edition of the pod, as we always do, with the pod thought of the day. And it comes from Eve Carson. And that pod thought is, quote, "I love UNC. I love the quad in the spring and the arboretum in the fall. I love the pit on a sunny day and the Grand Memorial Lounge on a rainy one. I love Roy all the time." Amen to that. "But what makes UNC truly special is not our basket, or is not our beautiful campus, our distinguished reputation, or even our basketball team. It's us who make UNC what it is." I would maybe slightly disagree about what makes Carolina special is the program, but the latter thing is the most important part of it. What separates Carolina from other places is it's full of great people. Whether they play basketball, coach basketball, or they teach or coach football, track and field, no matter what it is, you go to Chapel Hill, you know you're in a different environment, and it's its own little place in the world, and it's. No, it's called Blue Heaven or Southern Heaven, a lot of different names for Chapel Hill, and a lot of good reasons why, because when you go there, it's kind of like you're in a whole different part of the world, if we're being honest, and you realize that there are good people in the world and that there are people that want to make a difference in the lives of others, and Carolina does so in a multitude of different ways. As I was trying to find a pod thought to relate to the RJ Davis news, this was the one that stuck out about what makes UNC truly special it's the people. And, you know, I could talk the next hour about how special of a basketball player RJ Davis is. He's a pretty good basketball player. You're not an ACC player of the year by accident. You're not an All-American by accident. As a guy that's gotten the chance to interview him at ACC Media Days and kind of just be around him and see the way he interacts with people, is as great of a player as he is, he's a 10-time better person. And I think that's why I myself have gravitated towards him the way that I have. And I think it's why this fan base this past year kind of wrapped their arms around him and love him and embraced him, because they realized that they've got something special here. In an era of the transfer portal where guys don't stick around for 4, let alone 5 years, where NIL has become the focus of so many athletes, this news, I think, is in large part that does RJ have the best NBA draft stock? No. We knew that going into the offseason. But I think the kid loves Carolina. And I think the kid loves being a Tar Heel. And I do think being bounced in the Sweet 16, the first one seed to go home, may have played a role in this. But as I look around college athletics, and I hate the way that it is, I look at my program and I look at a university that means the world to me. And we just had Armando Bacot. We now have RJ Davis, according to Matt Norlander, separating themselves and not being a part of the norm and staying at a place that means a lot to them. And for that, we are forever grateful and forever in debt to RJ Davis, because we're not going to see this very often in the years to come.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not going to be nearly as connected to guys because – I mean, this is different because you're seeing guys stay for 5 years. I mean, you're talking about half a decade that these guys are sticking around. And for him, you know, he's a guy that it's so easy to root for him because there are so many different opportunities that he had to leave. And who would have blamed him? I mean, you're talking about a guy that, you know, started his career under Roy Williams. And, I mean, look, early on, you know, the success really wasn't there. And, you know, that's an area where he could have just said, look, man, I'm out of here. It's not worth having to go through this. Then you have the transition from Coach Williams to Coach Davis. That's another moment that he could have left. And then, you know, he comes back. The team goes to the Final Four. And makes the title game and comes up short. And, you know, he comes back probably thinking, hey, we've got a really great chance to win a national championship. And everything falls apart. This is a guy that, you know, then pretty much ends up getting in a roundabout way, pretty much ends up getting blamed for what happened last year. Like, yeah, Caleb Love received a lot of it from the Tar Heel fan base. But remember that Brendan Marks then writes an article and says that one of the sticking points for this team, one of the things that really signified the fact that things were starting to go off the rails for them early on, was that RJ Davis got mad about being listed as a shooting guard and not a point guard. And now, I mean, you saw what he turned into this year. And I thought he really found himself towards the end of last year. We saw him in the second half of last year, and I've said it so many times, and I'll say it until they put me in the grave or whatever. This dude, if he ends up staying healthy, if he doesn't injure his finger, then Carolina ends up making the NCAA tournament, because he was already showing us signs of what we've seen, of what we saw this year, of an All-American type of player. And then this year, I mean, he took it to a whole nother level. This is a guy that if Zach Edey isn't playing college basketball, let's say he had gone pro after last year, there's a good chance this is your National Player of the Year, because he was just that special. He took over this program and pretty much, I mean, look, man, he had help. There's no doubt about it. But there were moments where this dude carried this team. And, he, you know, we thought going into the NCAA tournament, this was a great opportunity for him. And this was, you know, him, Armando Bacot, making a run at a title with the help of guys like Cormac Ryan and Harrison Ingram, who were experiencing the NCAA tournament for the first time. And, I mean, they end up falling short in heartbreaking fashion. And I think that this was perfect fuel. We thought to ourselves, man, I think the first thought that night was, if we can run this back with R.J. Davis, I know Armando Bacot isn't going to be here, but if we can run it back with R.J. Davis, this could be that moment that you look back on and say, this is what fueled the next title run, because this dude really is that good. And I think now, you know, as long as these reports turn out to be true, and look, there are plenty of people that have said since this has gone up, well, you know, this is just a report. We have to wait until he confirms it. And yes, you do have to wait until RJ confirms it to be 100% sure. But Matt Norlander is one of the most locked in guys in all of college basketball. Two, he is also a guy that, as one of our friends in the podcasting world, in the Tar Heel community, Isaac Shade, pointed out, he is not a reporter. He is not a guy that typically drops a lot of scoops. That is not the area of college basketball that he is typically in. He's a guy that has knowledge, he has good connections, and he hosts one of the most popular college basketball podcasts. For him to come out with a report like this, there is some real concrete stuff behind this. So I got to be honest. I believe it 100%. And I could not be more excited that we get to see this dude stick around, because, I mean, we've had some real special guards here. This is a dude that has just been through so much, just as this fan base has been through in his time on campus. And I think the fact that he gets a chance to run it back one more time to hopefully lead this team to a deeper run, at least back to the Final Four, if not to the national championship game, just that thought has me downright giddy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll go back to when we recap the Alabama loss. And if y'all remember that, at the very end, your host got very emotional, because the fan in me was not emotionally ready to say goodbye to Pip as a player, because the fan knows that these connections, as much as I want them to keep happening and I keep developing these feelings for these players, it's not going to happen. Not with the way that college athletics is set up. And I've come to grips with that, but it's why that loss was so hard, because it was the unknown. And, you know, there hasn't been a day that hasn't gone by that I haven't thought about what it would be like when we sit down for live action in October, and I see number 4 on the court, and, you know, it appears that's what's going to happen. You know, we'll reference kind of the way that Matt Norlander reported this. He quote tweeted Inside Carolina's breaking news tweet about Seth Trimble withdrawing from the portal. And Norlander's tweet is as follows, quote, "Welcome news in Chapel Hill with more on the way. Trimble's not the only guy sticking around. RJ Davis is on board to return as well, source tells CBS Sports, with an official announcement landing in the next few days. UNC also returning Elliot Cadeau in the backcourt." We touched on that the last time we got on the podcast. What I want to make known here as kind of the back of what you said, Matt Norlander was at the forefront of the John Calipari news. Yeah. That rocked college basketball the night before the national championship game. The guy was in Phoenix covering the Final Four as a college basketball reporter or writer would do, and then did a podcast at 11 o'clock Phoenix time because he felt that compelled to do it. Don't know Matt Norlander personally. I know a friend through him, through the industry, that knows him, that could vouch for him. He wouldn't report this if it were true. We referenced in the tweet there, an official announcement, you would imagine, from RJ Davis could come, you know, within the next day or two. And it's a welcome sight, because not that I was panicking, but Carolina's been waiting for stuff to fall for them in this offseason, in the form of the transfer portal. And while they unofficially haven't added anybody from the portal, the best addition for next season was R.J. Davis. Mm-hmm. Was always going to be, was your point guard, was your lead guard going to be back for a super senior season? If that were the, you know, once that happened, what, no matter what Carolina had done or didn't do, was going to take a back seat to the fact you got your best player back. And it appears that that's the case. And that's a game changer for Carolina, because no matter what they do in the portal, they're a national championship contender with R.J. Davis on the roster next season. And that's the goal here. It's championship or bust year in, year out at Carolina. And with this news, Carolina and Hubert Davis takes the biggest step that they could have taken, that they will take all offseason, to being a contender to win an ACC regular season championship and go deeper in the NCAA tournament than they did last year.
Yeah, I mean, this is the move that really, as you said, sort of sets everything up. And it's the move that I think, you know, in terms of determining where Carolina was at in this offseason, I think that this is a move that will probably affect the guys that are in the portal. So, I mean, some of the guys that are still out there, some of these bigs that are still on the board, having one of the best players in the country that you know is now going to be on the team that is recruiting you hard, this is, I mean, it's going to have an effect. And that's why it's people need to be patient. Guys, I don't know if you remember this. I know it's been a long time. Just last offseason, Carolina had to wait to land their guys. I think everybody just sees that all – and they see the approach of teams like Kansas – you know, that's really the main one. Duke, I mean, Duke's they locked in on two guys, they got them, and that's fine. But, you know, a team like Kansas, I mean, the thing for them is they went out, they got, you know, a couple of guys incredibly early, and now we're seeing guys that are entering the transfer portal that Kansas probably would be interested in. But how many scholarship spots do you have? So that's the thing, is that people want to be incredibly aggressive. And here's the thing, if you were incredibly aggressive and you went out and got somebody, let's say you went out and got Umar Ballo, and he comes in, but Jonas Adu ends up being the guy that probably would have fit better. But hey, at least you went out and got the guy earlier, right? Like, guys, this Hubert Davis is looking for the best fit. And you can complain all you want about it. Hubert Davis is not looking for guys that are just – wanting NIL money. I mean, it's that simple. Like, people say, well, we should be spending our NIL money, you know, what, like a team as dominant as Carolina should. Yeah, that's, I mean, you could do that. But here's the thing. Are you going to get the right guys? Are you going to get guys that care? Are you going to get guys that are hungry? Or are you going to get guys that are just worried about collecting a paycheck and they don't really care about the results on the court? That's not what Hubert Davis is looking for. So it's strategic. And I think having a guy like this in R.J. Davis that is coming back and tell you, you know, what the experience is like. And you'd imagine now, if he hasn't already, he is probably going to have a hand in helping Carolina bring in some of these guys. Very similar to what we saw from Armando Bacot, who, as he said the other day, people were encouraging him to reach out to transfers. He is now a retired recruiter. And you would imagine that now R.J. Davis is that recruiter that has to step in and take over. So to me, I think this was kind of the plan all along. And you can complain about RJ taking a while to make his decision. Look, man, I don't doubt that there are people that wanted him in the NBA. I said it all year. This dude can score the ball at will at times. He can take over. When you can do that, there's a place for you in the NBA, even if you are a smaller guard. When you can find a way to just put the ball in the hoop, they are going to find room for you. So I don't doubt that he's had some looks. But I do think that ultimately this is probably the best decision for him to come back. This was probably the decision he was always going to come to, and it works out really well for Carolina and sets him up for success.
Yeah, look, I mean, this feels like the first domino of many to where this roster – I don't think it's speaking hyperbole for this roster to be finalized by the end of the weekend. Like, does it not make it more attractive for Kay Tyson to play with R.J. Davis? Does it not make it more attractive for Jonas Adu to play with R.J. Davis or Clifford Amore? That answer is definitely yes, because you're playing with a guy that would enter next year, a preseason All-American, probably the preseason favorite to be the National Player of the Year, Cooper Flagg be darned, with all the hype he'll bring with him to the college game. And so, you know, we were stressing in the last edition, man, you just got to take a deep breath. This stuff is going to work itself out. This whole offseason, like, as much as it hinged on Harrison Ingram too, it really all hinged on what R.J. Davis was going to do. Because if he were to leave, I think you would have seen Carolina even get into another gear, trying to recruit the transfer portal to fill his production. I think, you know, there's a reason why Jordan Pope from Oregon State not coming to Chapel Hill. There's a reason why, you know, some other guards in the portal Carolina just never got involved with, because they'd rather have R.J. Davis on their roster than those guys. And while you do have to sometimes over-recruit your current roster, you don't over-recruit a conference player of the year. RJ had earned the benefit of the doubt, you know, to make his decision, take the time to make his decision, because it's not an easy one. You know, so, you know, he's coming back for a fifth year. You know, we know that he has a relationship with Deja Kelly, a player on the women's team that entered the portal. And, like, whether you want to believe it or not, I think that was going to play a role in his decision to potentially come back or not. And the NBA played a role in it. And maybe I'm naive, but
possible.
You know, we were in the arena for senior night because we knew for sure Armando's final home game.
Yep.
But potentially RJ Davis's final home game. I didn't get the sense when he walked off the court that was the last time he was playing in front of that crowd. You know, and maybe that's because that's what I wanted to believe, and my heart led me to believe that way. But, you know, we've seen guys that we knew unofficially, yep, this guy's not coming back. I didn't get that sense from him. And, you know, Hubert talks all the time about wanting Carolina guys and guys that are 2 feet in and are committed to the program, the community, and the university. Armando Bacot embodied that statement more than I think anybody ever will in the modern era. There might be a guy that comes along that challenges that. I think RJ.
Yeah, I don't know. He did say he would die for the university. So that's a tough bar.
I think RJ Davis is going to come pretty close. Like you don't think that guy wants to win a national championship and hang a banner in the Smith Center? Like, his number's already going to be honored. And, like, who knows? After what he does in his super senior season, the number might get retired. But, like, you don't think that's a driving force for him to return? So, you know, there's so many thoughts running through my mind because I've literally waited for this news since the season ended. Because it directly, you know, impacts the way we think about next year. And I also can't help but think about every NC State / Duke fan that creeps on our podcast and listens to us that told us, man, when the portal became the portal and the NIL became the NIL, that Carolina was not going to be Carolina. Because you could no longer convince kids to put themselves second and put a program first. And look, Carolina's definitely had to learn that the hard way, as every program has. What we've learned, though, the last two off seasons is this interlocking NC, it still has power. It still has meaning. And R.J. Davis has done a lot of great things for himself individually. but he hasn't accomplished what he set out to accomplish for the University of North Carolina. And man, that's powerful. And man, that's why I root for that kid the way that I root for that kid, because he's a heck of a player, and he's a really good individual player. But this man wants to win a national championship for a program that's given him a life-changing experience, for a fan base that has showered him with love. We've watched RJ grow up at Carolina. You know, he showed up as the new man on campus. He became the big man on campus. He'll arrive next year as the old man on campus. And, you know, it darn near brings a tear to my eye to know I get to watch this kid play basketball, hopefully 40 more times next season.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the thing is they're going to have a hell of a chance to do that now too, because I think that you said that the offseason hinged on his decision. I think, honestly, the perspective of what the 2024-25 season could be for Carolina hinged on his decision. You were not getting a guy of his caliber out of the portal. I mean, you're talking about, you say conference player of the year. I mean, this is a dude that's a consensus All-American. Like, this guy is one of the best players in the entire country. And so finding that guy in the transfer portal was going to be nearly impossible. And that guy, I'm going to tell you right now, Ian Jackson may be a really good player. I don't know if he is going to be quite the player that RJ Davis is.
Yeah.
This is absolutely huge. And now, from a veteran perspective, you've got him coming back, and you can build the rest of this veteran group. I mean, you can show them that, look, man, look at what we built around RJ last year. If we get veteran guys in here, that's what can allow us to make a deep run in the tournament. And then you surround it with the talent that we've seen Carolina surrounded with. This, I think, should have you feeling like Carolina is going to be one of the best teams in the country next year, and that they are one of the favorites to win a national championship. You can tell me all you want about Duke, UConn, all that kind of stuff, but this has Carolina right in that same class as we sit here at this point of the offseason.
Yeah, and I mean, look, that's the expectation. But it's not a guarantee, not in today's college basketball, that
yep,
you're going to have a championship caliber roster year in, year out. Carolina should, just from, you know, the outlook of what the program is and what it does from, a, you know, how they recruit, you know, the high school talent, transfer portal talent, and all that. But it's a different sport now. And so, but you're right. I think bare minimum, depending on how the portal shakes out, this team will be at worst a preseason top five team. I think when we leave, you know, basketball media days in October, I think they'll be the preseason pick to win the ACC over Duke and all of that incoming freshman talent, because the sport's different. It's changed. Older teams are winning now more so than ever. And so, and that wasn't, if RJ would have left, none of this would have been on the table, no matter what Carolina would have done in the portal.
Yep.
Wouldn't be preseason top five. Wouldn't be, in my opinion, the favorite to win the ACC going into next season. Just because I'm all over the place, is there anything else you feel like we need to add, we need to cover on the RJ Davis front before we move to the other news of the day that indirectly, directly involved RJ Davis?
No, I mean, I think that the fact that, you know, he gets to come back and potentially chase being Carolina's all-time leading scorer, potentially being a two-time consensus All-American, like, this dude has a chance to do some really special things. And, I mean, I got to be honest. I think already you have to debate about retiring this dude's number. If this report ends up being true and he does what we think that he can do, even if he just duplicates the year that he just had, and especially if he caps it off with a deeper run in the tournament, I mean, there's nobody that's going to wear four ever again. Like, there's no question in my mind. So my advice to Tar Heel fans would be to enjoy it, soak it up, because you are watching truly one of the best players to roll through here. Armando Bacot was a guy that statistically you looked at and said one of the best players ever. But when you watch him, there's a lot of people that debate it and say he's not in that first tier of bigs at Carolina. Dude, you're watching one of the best guards that has ever graced this floor. And there have been a lot of really great ones. But this kid is freaking special. So soak it in, guys, because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing left to add. When it becomes officially official, we'll come back on here, re-celebrate it again, because RJ's a guy worth celebrating. And, whenever you watch him next year, watch him with the same love and appreciation you watched with Armando and realize you're talking about an all-time Tar Heel. And for us, this will be one of the guys that we're telling our kids about, our grandkids about, when we're old and gray and watching Carolina basketball with them. And that young guy got nothing on RJ Davis. You know, we're having those stories. So I look forward to those days. And hopefully I'm talking about a kid that hung a banner and won a national championship. Well, that's not the only news of the day we have to discuss. Ooh. Something we talked about on the last edition of the podcast about the chances that Seth Trimble would withdraw from the portal and return to Carolina. That happened earlier today. We'll talk about that next. But first, we got to play you a quick word from one of our partners.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTUFF. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
Hey guys, welcome back inside another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast, coming at you live on a Tuesday night, a busy news day for Carolina basketball as they officially / unofficially get two guys back for next season. We've already gone over RJ Davis, the report from Matt Norlander of CBS Sports, that he's on board to be with the program for 2024-2025. When we spoke with you last, we talked about Seth Trimble and the rumors that he would withdraw from the transfer portal and return to Carolina. That became official today and kind of is what set off the news in regards to RJ Davis coming back for next season. Trimble posted a graphic on his Instagram that reads as follows, quote, "I've taken time to realize where my home is. After much consideration, I've decided my heart and soul belong in Chapel Hill. Tar Heel Nation, let's work." There's no denying this is a really big get for Carolina as well. You add depth to that backcourt. You get your best perimeter defender back next season. I'm of the opinion that his role was going to be bigger than what it was last year. And he had a pretty increased role. And I think there's a scenario where he could be that lead guard that he desires to be, but he might be the lead guard for or with the second unit. I think you're going to see lineups next year. Davis, Cadeau, Trimble, the wing, and the big man. Like, I think you're going to see that. Hubert Davis wants to play that way. He's talked about, you know, how great it is to play with multiple ball handlers at one time. And, you know, if the chemistry is what it was this past year, I think those three guys could mesh on the floor together simultaneously. So what do you make of this officially becoming official? Because we kind of dissected this in the last edition of the podcast. I have no remorse for entering the portal. Like, every player could justify entering the portal to figure out what their value is, what options are open to them. I think this should be a guy that Carolina fans should welcome back with open arms, because if Carolina is going to be that team we're talking about them being, we just talked about them winning a national championship team, Seth Trimble, you know, fits in that equation in more ways than one.
Well, I mean, you're talking about getting back your best defender. Like, that was the thing that I don't think a lot of people really talked about a lot with him. Because, I mean, look, it's natural. You're always going to be focused on what can a guy produce on the offensive end of the floor. But, I mean, he's just so valuable. He was your best defender. And you thought, okay, this guy's gone. He was also your best bench player. So in both of those areas, two very crucial parts of the game, you were losing a guy. So I definitely think that this is massive for Carolina. This cannot be understated, because I mean this is ultimately what can help you get over the top. We talked about how important it was coming into last year. We saw coming into last year what not having a bench did to the teams in previous years. I mean, it was damn near disastrous in every year but 21 and 22. Like, that run was just unbelievable. But outside of that, you didn't have a bench that you could trust. And for the second straight year, it looked like, okay, you're going to lose your sixth man. And a guy that, I mean, look, man, we talked about Puff Johnson potentially being able to take a leap. We referenced him as a sixth man. He did not play anywhere near as much or play the type of role that Seth Trimble did for you. This is massive. You get a huge, just a guy that can defend as well as anybody in college basketball back on the perimeter, a guy that can shoot the ball efficiently from beyond the arc when, you know, he has the confidence to, and you're hoping that he can even take another leap, because I mean, the leap from his freshman year to his sophomore year was significant. If he can take another leap similar to that next year, I mean, you're talking about a guy that, yeah, I mean, if Elliot Cadeau struggles a little bit, especially early in the season, dude, Seth Trimble could be starting some games for Carolina there, because you look at how aggressive he is. That's the other thing. He's a guy that loves to push the floor, and that's really going to help Carolina.
I mean, I just look at it just, you know, as a guy that was so impactful for what Carolina did last year, despite coming off the bench. And, you know, it's not a guarantee he's going to be a starter. I think you're hoping he's, you know, not a starter with how Carolina could fill out the roster. But I think, you know, he got in the portal and realized the best situation for me is back at North Carolina, and a role that is maybe coming off the bench, but you're going to play starter-like minutes. You were playing starter-like minutes for the majority of the season. You know, hopefully the Bama game was the best motivation for what you've got to do in the offseason, which has become a consistent shooter. You know, yep. Jay Billis, who called a lot of Carolina's games down the stretch, would reference the shooting numbers being, you know, it was over 40% for the majority of the season from behind the three-point line on low volume. Like, that's an area where you want to come back, make a bigger impact, become a guy that can take three threes a game and shoot 37, 38% in that area. It would do wonders for Carolina.
So it's not even consistency, really. It's more confidence, right? Like, he's a guy that proved at times this past year that when Carolina needed him to score, he could get the job done. It's just, there were times where it didn't feel like he was that confident in his shot. And, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, he wasn't one of those dudes that you looked at and when he had an open shot, you were praying, please don't take that shot. He was a guy that, I mean, there were times, especially towards the end of the year, where we were saying, dude, you gotta take that shot because you can make that shot. So I think that's one of the big things that the staff has to work on with him, because we've seen it. The percentages are there to prove that he can make them. It's just about, you know, boosting yourself up, you know, in terms of your confidence. And once that once that comes for him, I think it's he's going to be a guy that can contribute the way Carolina needs him to on both ends.
Should there be any concern about a buy-in factor from him with him entering the portal and then returning after, what, he was in the portal unofficially 2 weeks?
I mean, no. There's absolutely no chance. I mean, look, man, he knows what he's signing up for. And here's the thing. I mean, if you thought you were going in there and finding out that you were going to land somewhere as a starter, you went through the experiment. Apparently, they didn't view you as a starter. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can't really see that. And I think the thing is that it's probably something that Coach Davis sat down and probably said right to him. Look, man, you know, you entered the transfer portal. You know, we need to make sure you're 100% locked in. And I think he is. I think he was looking to see if there was a chance that he could become a starter somewhere else. But I think he's the type of guy that wherever he is at, he is going to buy in. And I'm going to tell you, here's the thing. If you don't, it's going to be pretty damn easy to move you out of the way. Like, there are plenty of other guys that can play in this backcourt that Carolina has right now. So that's the thing, man. If that's what people are worried about, trust me, that is not going to stand in the way of Carolina being able to put a winning product out on the floor. But this is a guy that I think – I mean, look, he's only a junior. So if he believes that he really can be a starter at the power conference level, this could be, you know, extra motivation for him to – perform well this year, and then potentially enter the transfer portal next year if he still feels like he's not going to get what he wants at Carolina.
Yeah, look, Hubert Davis hasn't been shy to recruit his guys from the transfer portal when he got introduced. If we go back to that introductory press conference, his first order of business was re-recruiting Walker Kessler, trying to get him back in Chapel Hill. So, you know, it feels like a perfect marriage for both. This was the best place for him all along. Happy to have Trimble back. He'll be a big part of the success Carolina will enjoy next season. Greg Ward, a guy that comments every time we go live, and we appreciate Greg for all the support he shows, the Four Corners podcast, along with the Heel Tough blog podcast. He comments, now will we only look for two guys in the portal, a center and a 3 or 4 combo wing like Ingram? There's no denying that this news today, I think, changes the way Carolina goes about the portal. We'll come back later in the week and kind of address now the needs for Carolina in the portal. The biggest priority is going to be a big man. And look, we know how much they'd love to add Cade Tyson to the mix as well. But, you know, there is no denying that when you return, you know, an All-American and you return one of the better – you know, 6th man in all of college basketball, your wish list and your needs list does change a little bit. But we'll talk about that a little bit later in the week. With that, that is going to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Before we let you go, we encourage you to visit the website, HeelToughBlog.com. We had you covered on all the big news today, Trimble, R.J. Davis. You know, had you covered last night with the news that Carolina not going to be a finalist for the Oregon State transfer. They are a finalist for the transfer out of Dayton, and we've had you covered on that front. Football news has still been coming out, a lot of recruiting, positive stuff for Matt Brown and his staff following the spring game. We've had you covered on that front as well. We encourage you to simply visit the website every single day, HeelToughBlog.com, for the latest and the best Carolina basketball Tar Heel football coverage. As for the podcast, you guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast where we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any editions of the show throughout the basketball off season. Well, with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Do want to thank Anthony for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for watching and listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
RJ's back, baby!
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that!